Hello, everybody, again. Welcome to the USA Rugby Happy Hour Live. If you get a chance, go ahead and share with your friends and family. Get them involved in these conversations. Great chance to talk to guys with our guests tonight. I am Bill Baker of Eagles Overseas, host of the Eagle-Eyed Rugby Podcast, interviewing USA Eagles and more around the globe. And here to introduce himself is my co-host, John Fitzpatrick.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks, Bill. As Bill mentioned, my name is John from Rugby Morning. And our tagline is Rugby Fan Made Easy. And what we do is we curate some of the top rugby news from around the world, and we put a little American rugby point of view on it, and we serve it up in a newsletter 6 days a week, Monday morning through Saturday morning. And you can catch us online and on our socials at Rugby Morning.
This is the USA Rugby Happy Hour Live here on Twitter Spaces. We are talking mostly about this weekend's big matchup. It is the Boston-New York rivalry renewed in rugby version. And with that said, let's move on to our next guest, who's a man who single-handedly tried to knock down the goalpost at Veterans Memorial Stadium with his full body's might. Please welcome Harry Barlow from the New England Free Jacks. Harry, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing? And yeah, it's great to be on. And yeah, that made me chuckle a bit. I didn't quite get the goalpost this time, but hey, maybe next time.
That looked like it hurt. I mean, it was an incredible defensive effort. It's like watching a car wreck. You need to watch a highlight. Is that the reason why you're a bit nicked up right now?
Yeah, exactly right there. It was pretty gnarly. I went into halftime. I was pretty tired because we just scored that try before halftime, so I was puffing already. And then, straight after the half, I'm fortunate enough to do that to my leg. And yeah, it was pretty horrible. But kudos to the athletic trainers and everyone helping out to help me out in the day. And I'm already well into my recovery now, two weeks and a bit in. So yeah, I'm doing great. But yeah, it was pretty gnarly for sure.
Yeah. I was there for that match, and it was a collective. Oh,
it was. Yeah, I mean, I had people coming up to me after saying, do you not see the goalpost there and stuff like that? I was thinking, of course I saw it. I just didn't see. I didn't see the flying puma there, Zach, and doing an incredible tackle. But yeah, it's one of those weird rugby collisions, and it happens in this rough game. So it's all good.
Well, thank God for pads on the posts.
Yeah.
Now, is there any expectations, any on your return and recovery?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling pretty confident I can get back towards the back end of the season. I'm doing a great job. The athletic trainers are doing a great job, as I said, working me hard already. And, I'm in every day trying to get it back to 100%. And, I'm feeling confident that, I could be back by the end of the season and, give back to the team as well. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Now, the injury wasn't bad enough where you couldn't enjoy yourself this off weekend, right? I mean, there was Boston Marathon, Red Sox game. I know Coach Matthew went to Vermont. Were you able to get out and enjoy yourself?
Yeah. So most of the week, as I said, I didn't have any days off because, the injury won't stop for anyone. So I was still doing the rehab. But, towards the end of the week, I went down to the Cape, and that was beautiful. I'd never been there before. It's still a little bit chilly, but, I'll still take it. Yeah. And then, Easter and Marathon Monday, it was great. And obviously that was cancelled last year due to COVID. So it was great to see that for the first time. And it was a great bye week. And but as I said, it's, still doing that rehab, but getting the balance right.
So we're going to jump into this weekend and not necessarily about the match yet. So I'm going to let John tackle you about the actual match specifics. But I want to talk to you about the Boston-New York rivalry. Oh, I got the word right, yes. I understand what that means. I mean, it's, we got Red Sox, Yankees, Patriots, Jets, Celtics, Knicks, Bruins, Rangers. Do you quite get it yet? Or did you need somebody like, Mass native Cam Davidowitz, to help you with that?
No. I think since day one, I've got it because I'm a huge Bruins fan, right? And I know Cam is and Eagle is as well. So we're always chatting about the Boston-New York rivalry and Bruins in general. So I like to think I've had it since day one. But it's quite fun explaining to the new guys this year and stuff, what it means to not only, in terms of the Free Jacks, but as a city to Boston as well. As you mentioned, across all sports, it's massive. And it's such a healthy rival to have because, it's such two great areas of sports in the country. So, yeah, it's it's a big one. It's gets the people going.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully there's no fisticuffs because they can be brutal at times. I know, you know, I grew up in the New England area, so there's like some of the greatest highlights are of Boston Bruins going into the crowd in New York, Madison Square Garden to fight with fans. You know,
yeah, that's old school. That might be a little bit too far, eh? But no, it's definitely, you know, you definitely feel the passion of, you know, Boston sports fans up here. You know, it's not just a game to them against New York. It's everything's on the line for them. And yeah, they said you got to win. You got to win against New York always. So, yeah, I really can't wait to watch the game this weekend.
No, Harry, that's good stuff. And I won't hold it against you because I'm down here in the Mid-Atlantic in Washington, D.C., and I'm a big Caps fan, and they made the playoffs. Nice. So, you know, we're not quite at the rivalry level of New York and Boston, but, you know, hey, don't forget about us down here.
Yeah, for sure. That's still a pretty big rival as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully they might get a matchup in the playoffs. We'll see.
That's right. Ovi just scored his 50th goal. He and I think Gretzky are the only two players in NHL history to do that over 9 seasons. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Ovi, if you're listening in, it's a plug.
Nothing but respect. Yeah, that's pretty impressive no matter what sports team you support.
Well, Bill talked a little bit about it. So you guys are coming off of a bye week and you're resting up and healing up. Big matchup against Rugby New York. Can you tell us how preparations are going for that big matchup?
Sure, yeah. So, obviously, after that win against Seattle, you know, to beat Seattle, they're a really great side. You know, they've got some incredible players. And, you know, that was a really close game. And there was definitely a few sore bodies after that one and after this stretch we've had of fixtures. So, yeah, just to get the bodies right for the boys was really important. Just to switch mentally off for a bit. But then, you know, coming onto the back of the bye week and into this week, it's you know, full engines ahead. It's straight back into the office and head down into the books. And the boys have been looking really good this week. We've had some sunny days. We've had some rainy days here up in New England. So it's been a good mix. I don't know what the weather's going to be doing on the weekend, but I know for sure the boys are looking really good. And, you know, they can't wait to get back out there. It feels like one bye week's been a month. So,
yeah. Well, you guys have played well against New York. And certainly the last time you guys played earlier this season, you guys went down there and hung a loss on them. Is there anything you learned from that first matchup that you guys are kind of specifically trying to concentrate on for this week based on what you've seen from New York over the last couple of weeks or since the last time you played?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, squads change due to injuries and selection and stuff like that. So we never really focus on opposition squads in terms of individuals, but it's terms of, you know, how the teams play. And, you know, New York's a really physical side. They really come at you. They've got a great offloading game. And, you know, and they do have that X factor in some of their star players, and you really have to watch out for that. And yeah, and, you know, in terms of the field and stuff, it'll be a great matchup. It'll be real physical, nice close contact game. So yeah, it's for me personally, I probably think it's probably, you know, a massive physicality factor. And yeah, it's just going to be a hell of a matchup. There'll be some sore bodies after that game for sure.
Yeah. And you know, question, strategy-wise, and maybe this is a question for Tom or the coaches, but you know, after this match against New York, you've got 5 of your next 6 games are all at home. You guys are 2 points ahead of Atlanta, 7 ahead of Toronto and New York. And obviously, you want to take it one game at a time, and you certainly, particularly in the Eastern Conference, when things get stacked up towards the end, you want to win every matchup. But is there a thought in the back of the mind like, hey, if we drop this one, that's fine because we've got the next 5 at home that we can really focus on. Does that thought ever cross your mind at all, or is it we got to focus on winning this?
It sounds cliche for sure, but you know, for us, it's really one game at a time. We try not to get ahead of ourselves. You know, we don't want to kind of look into the future too much. We just, you know, it's cliche. You probably heard it a million times, but you know, we just tackle this one game at a time, and that's how, you know, that's how good teams win championships. They just focus on one game at a time. And by the end of the season, you know, you might end up in a great position to win the whole thing. But as I said, for us, it's just one game at a time. You know, as you said, it's such a close conference. The East Conference is brutal. And there's still a lot of season left. So, yeah, it's just going to be great. You've got to keep our consistency and evolve, I guess.
So, Harry, let's talk about home field. Let's talk about Guernsey, Veterans Memorial Stadium.
Sure.
The home crowd, there's that player tunnel where you enter the field and come off of. I think it's very unique in Major League Rugby. You've obviously gone to a lot more stadiums than I have. but I don't know what other stadium has that kind of deal where the Eric, the owner, has a cowbell coming off the field, the fan hand over that environment. I mean, that's pretty unique.
It's awesome, as you said. You know, that tunnel was a really special place, coming, you know, out for the game and, you know, coming back in after. When I was getting carried back in after that NOLA game, after that injury, I actually got a bit emotional coming in because all the fans clapping and saying, you know, speedy recovery. And I just thought, you know, this is a great club to be at. You know, I just felt really like so much support behind me, and I knew things would be all right. And as you said, you know, there's no better feeling going out to the field. You know, the kids put their hands out for high fives and hopefully inspire them to, you know, become the next generation of MLR. So it's great. We've got a great thing going down in Quincy at the moment. And I think the fact that proved that was that Toronto game in a blizzard. I've never seen such a big crowd for such bad conditions in my life. Wow. And that just confirmed it for me. That was, I've never seen fans like it.
Well, I'm one of the a-holes that just, I was in a pub in Dorchester on the way to the match. And I said, you know what? That weather sucks. I'm
not- Yeah, I wouldn't hold it against you for sure. It was, I think I came in at halftime. My hair was frozen. I was basically just on the wing for the first half. And I came into the change room. My hair was, you know, clean frozen. I thought, how is there people just standing there still? But hey, it was still loud and it got us past the finish line that we needed. So it was great. And, you know, as summer's coming up and spring, hopefully those numbers are only going to go up. And yeah, it's, you definitely feel it. It's loud on the pitch for sure.
Well, you know, talking about that NOLA game a minute ago, after the match, I hung out for a little while and I talked to Dino Waldron, you know, the prop from NOLA.
Yeah.
Great guy. He had a good game, actually. He scored a try as well against you guys. One thing he mentioned was in the second half, they started getting behind you guys. They started outplay you guys at one point. And he said to me, is that the difference later in the game is when the crowd got into it. And for him, he said it kind of took the wind out of their sails. It really was like that crowd was amazing. I don't know if you felt that. I saw that from where you were standing. But for where I was in the crowd also, I felt like the crowd was really getting into it also. But to have an opponent say, yeah, I mean, that crowd really got us.
Yeah, I mean, I think every rugby player can admit, you know, when you go to an away game, and it's quite intimidating when you have a big crowd like that against you. And especially Boston sports fan, they're real loud. And I mean, it's definitely a factor for sure. I think for us, you know, when we play away, we definitely feel it as well. But you know, with these home games coming up, it's such a great benefit to have. And yeah, I definitely agree. I think it performs the momentum massively, I think. And it's just great. The louder, the better. And, you know, sometimes it's almost too loud. I think we're calling lineouts sometimes. We can't hear each other. So, no, it's never such thing as too loud, but it's great. And yeah, it's fantastic. And Dino's a great player as well. I actually played with him. Back in the UK, we played for the Penguins Invitational side. Yeah, I must have been about 18 years old. I don't know if he remembers playing with me, but yeah, he's a hell of a player as well. And yeah, that was funny way back when.
That's funny. All right, so speaking of rowdy crowd, this guy, his seats are about 10 feet to my left, and I can't get a word out edgewise because he's just screaming. He's like, he's dressed in the most 80s ski wear one day. And he's up here to probably give you a hard time.
you're exactly right, Bill. I'm coming in here to just kind of, Harry, I've shared this twice. I know it's gone viral on the Rugby Network. I'm not sure if you guys talked about it already, but during the Toronto match, I believe it was, you were forced to play on the back row there. Can you walk us through your mindset during the scrum there? Can you kind of just, what were you thinking at that point?
Yeah, I guess this has been a long time coming, this explanation, I guess. So first I'd like to say, you know, massive brain freeze from the cold, obviously. But going into it, you know, I don't watch too many scrums back in the training film. So, you know, I kind of just saw it, and I always assumed the flankers all over the league, and I hate me for this, but I always thought the flankers were just on the side and didn't push much. boy, was I wrong. I don't think I could have done it any worse, but hey, I've learned that lesson now, and coach ever wants to put me in at flanker, I know what to do now, I like to think. But I'd prefer not to be back in that smelly scrum.
I thought it was a move for you to get your hands warm by sticking them into someone else.
But yeah, I never knew you had to push against the props. Honestly, I've been watching rugby my whole life, and you learn something new every day. So yeah, it was. Yeah, I like to think I was getting the morale up in the cold, get the boys going.
Yeah, of course.
Love that.
Thanks, Phil. Always a great pleasure to have you on here. Peter, thanks for coming up again. How are you?
Thanks, Bill. Barry, yes, this is Peter from Arkansas. Just congrats, firstly, with you and the team and Coach Scott. You guys have been doing great, man. Good, and congrats on that. And, I guess it's your second year in the league now, and you're a young player with looks like a great future in the game, and you made such a big impact right off the bat. So I was just interested, I believe you are US eligible, if I'm not mistaken, and I was just interested in your future plans. Are you liking it over here? Are you planning to stay long term? Are you going to go back to England? Do you mind sharing some thoughts on that? And because we just believe you've got a great future in the game, yeah, man.
Hey, Peter, I appreciate the kind words. Yeah, it means a lot to us and to me personally. And yeah, for me, it's a dead easy answer. I absolutely love living in the US. I think the fellas can tell you that, and Tom Kindly, our performance director, can tell you that. It's like a duck to water over here. To be honest, don't think I've ever been happier. I was at Harlequins for 2 years, and an amazing club that is, and amazing players there. There's just something about living in the US for me. It just feels right, and I feel like I turn up to training every day with a smile on my face. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but honestly, yeah, super happy. And just looking at where this league's going, it's my second year, and I feel like this season's already improving from the last one, for the whole league in general. And I can't even imagine where it'll end up in, 5-10 years. And luckily for me, I have age on my side and hopefully a long career ahead of me. And yeah, I absolutely love playing in the MLR and being in the environment and traveling around. And most importantly, for me right now in New England, is, representing New England for the Free Jacks is awesome. And yeah, I can't get enough of it. Just can't wait to play again, to be honest.
Thanks, Peter. So, Harry, let's talk about the coaching staff for a second there, and more about the environment, the team environment this year. New coach, obviously, and Coach Matthew, Mike Rogers, TK, obviously a great holdover from last year. What's the difference about this year's team environment when compared to last season? I saw recently a Marmite eating contest.
Yeah, that was really interesting because I saw it, and I personally, for me, I can't stand Marmite. But then I saw this. It was some sort of New Zealand Marmite, and it looked even worse than the UK Marmite. And they got the boys up. I think it was mostly front rows they got up. I think Eric smashed it. But I was cringing as I watched that because I know it was horrible. But going into the team culture, it's great. I think the balance this year is really great between, we can switch it on. Training sessions are real hard, real intense. It's an intensity that I haven't felt yet in training before in previous years. But they're short sessions and they're sharp, they're focused. We don't hang around and spend too long on things we don't need to. It's really kind of high performance, high intensity training, trying to replicate that match feeling. And I think they're doing a great job with that. And kind of off the field, it's great. We have split up team housing this year, and a real mix of nationalities, cultures, and obviously the American culture spread out between those houses. So, yeah, I feel like, going from last year, we were real tight as a unit, and this year it's just grown even more. It's really like a brotherhood this year, and it's great. We learn about each other's, families, backgrounds, where they're from, what's the most important thing to them outside rugby. And I think those type of connections are really important because, we play rugby every day, and it's really important to, to learn who someone is outside the game of rugby. And that's been massive this year.
Harry, let's talk a little bit about your teammates. Your teammate Waka running the show at 10, who's arguably probably up for MVP and MLR. How's he holding up? He seems to be getting a lot more attention in the tackles of late.
Yeah, Waka's probably the first place you want to be is in a ruck or a big collision, but that's what makes him a good player. He can avoid those big collisions and get round people. But for me, as a young guy, it's just I feel grateful just to learn off players like that. you know, last year was absolutely on fire, and this year he's just absolutely next level. And, you know, he'll catch me in training and say, you know, what do you think about doing this? Or how do we think about doing this move differently? And he's kind of always, you know, asking these questions. And for me personally, he's kind of just taken away from his game what I can apply to my own game. But yeah, he's absolutely on fire. And yeah, I just hope he stays fit and healthy and keeps playing the way he is, because yeah, it's been a massive difference for us this year.
Yeah, certainly a dynamic player. Moving over to Dougie Fyfe. Dougie Fyfe, certainly probably one of the fastest players in the league. Have you guys in the back line challenged him to a foot race? And who would really win?
Well, it's funny. Dougie was actually, apart from John Poland, when I played tennis with him in Bermuda, Dougie was my first player to meet in Boston when I moved over for quarantine. Just us two in quarantine for a week. So, yeah, he's my day one. Dougie's he's great. And just like Wax, he's one of those experienced players, you know, played this incredible rugby around the world and back in Scotland. And in terms of a foot race, he may be older than me, but he's definitely faster than me, I think. Must be that smooth, silky hair he has, but he is, yeah, he is rapid, but yeah, it'll be interesting. We should do a backs, when we're all healthy, we should all do a backs race and see who's the fastest. But I think Zach will win that race because he is probably the fastest player I've seen.
Yeah, his line, Dougie's line speed has been amazing, and it shows. It's pretty obvious to me, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it seems like after a turnover, you getting a turnover, your attack after a turnover is so much faster this year than it was even last year. Am I wrong there?
No, absolutely, you're correct. And as I said, that's been a huge, since preseason week one, day one, that's been a huge focus for us. Mm. And it's been different for me. In previous years on a turnover, I've always, my first thought is to kick it in the backfield because no one's home. But for us this year, it's, you know, it's that exciting turnover attack. The game's open, wide open field, and have a go, be brave. And that's, it's been massive this year for us. And that's almost been part of our identity in terms of how we play. And as you said, you know, Wax and Dougie kind of coordinate that because, you know, they're such dangerous runners. So, and in a broken open field like that, it's tough to stop players like that.
All right, coming up here is the scrum of the year here with us. What's going, man?
How are you doing? It's great to be on. I'm David from the Scrum of the Earth.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
You've got the great new digs in downtown Quincy. You're right across the street from where I used to work. It's such a great place. I got to go down and see you guys, and it was the funniest thing that Slade McDowell was the one who sort of opened the door and let me in and said, "Hey, come on in, buddy." It was pretty great. So my question is, who is the biggest joker in the squad right now?
Oh, that's a great question. We have a few. We have a few jokers, actually. I think the most obvious one is Kyle Eagle because, you know, he's one of my closest friends, and he never fails to make me laugh. If I if I'm feeling tired in the morning, he'll just crack a joke, and I'm right up there. The energy levels is where it needs to be. But apart from Eagle, I'm trying to think. Mills Millennium. I'm living with him. He's great. He's always happy and always in a great mood. And some of that Kiwi humor comes through sometimes, and it's hilarious because yeah, it's. It's honestly, all the boys are hilarious, but it's probably those two for me are the biggest jokers.
Nice, love it. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
Hey, by the way, Dan, you didn't work at that school across the street, did you? Because it was not me Eid in the, next to the trash can. It was not me. Anyway,
I still have the photos. I'm threatening you with them right now. Just kidding.
The Free Jacks fans do a great job in those parking lots. There's good tailgating up on the hill and all that. Great chances to get out of hailstorms, which happened last time also.
Yeah.
But here, let's talk a little more about MLR with you really quick. Cool. You know, you've been flourishing since you come over here in MLR. You know, you have two tries in the season, 10th career try back in March, you know, third to do so in club history, and 100th try in Free Jacks history, of course. You know, your move, it seems like you move over from overseas here is kind of working out for you. I mean, not just enjoying yourself, but I think it's been doing well for your game.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to agree with you. I think, For me, I play my best when I'm happiest off the field. So for example, when I was at Harlequins, as I said, I loved it, but you know, I was never playing, and to be honest, I rarely trained and with first team reps as well, unless it was a few injuries, sometimes a few weeks. But you know, here, just even to train full time, and you know, just improve. That's how you improve as a player, and that's how you stay happy. And for me, that's probably, I like to think, why I've been enjoying the MLR so much, is because I've been just enjoying myself. And that's why, you know, why we all play rugby in the beginning as kids, because it's fun, right? And it's the right balance in the MLR for me right now between enjoying myself, but it's being professional and chasing championships and those big wins. So, you know, hopefully keep that dream alive. And yeah, I absolutely love it. It's great. And my family love watching me over here, and hopefully get them out here soon.
No, great. Yeah, here, that would be great if we get your family out here to watch a game, maybe the MLR Shield title game. But
fingers crossed. Yeah,
fingers crossed. We another English-born player in the MLRA, USA Eagle, said that MLR is an Americanized version of rugby. Do you find that to be true as well?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I always like to think the US and you know, the American sports in general are so good at that entertainment factor and keeping not only the fans happy, but, you know, in terms of social media coverage, how teams present themselves and franchises. I think the US really has that nailed down. And in terms of the MLR, I think they're nailing it at the moment. It's just so great to see, because I've been following the MLR since its first season, and you just look where it is now in a few years, and it's great. But I definitely have to agree with you. It's definitely Americanized, and I can't get enough of it, to be honest. And I think everyone else loves it. I haven't met someone yet who thinks this isn't the right way to do it, because it's so great. You know, we've got halftime shows, stuff like that. I love doing the anthem before every game. I know the boys who aren't even US eligible love the anthems before games as well. So, yeah, it's great. I think it's a great balance, and you know, hopefully we can keep getting those new supporters who haven't seen rugby before on board. And the only way is up in the MLR, I think.
So Harry, we have you for another minute now, and it's probably bedtime for you. I'm sure, like the coach PK are checking, knocking on doors in a minute.
Yeah.
So here's a serious question for you. Nicknames. I've heard Sir Harry, Wheelbarrow. What nicknames have you had over the years that kind of beat those two?
So when I was back in the UK, I don't think I was called Harry once in 2 years. It was Gary. Because I'm not sure if you know, but the artist, he's not so big over in the US, but Gary Barlow, obviously, he's a massive artist. And everyone always asked day one, are you related to Gary Barlow? At the end of the day, just got to go along with it. And by the end of those 2 years,
I had to Google him just now.
Yeah, by the end of those 2 years at Harlequins, someone would say Harry, I wouldn't even respond. I was like, "Who's Harry?" But no, over here now, it's the Wheelbarrow seem to stuck, and I kind of own that nickname now. I kind of respond to that now. I think that just came from a commentary slip up during NOLA last season, and ever since that, you know how rugby players are. They just stick to it, and. Yeah, that's me, and it makes me crack up every time, and yeah, it's good fun for sure.
Well, I like those nicknames, because the nicknames I've had in my rugby career should not be mentioned ever in front of my kids. but honestly, I'm not kidding here. When I saw the spelling of wheelbarrow, B-A-R-R-O-W somewhere, I was like, I always knew it as wheelbarrow for some reason.
I always have to double check the spelling as well, but I think it's right, but I'm the last person you want to ask about spelling, honestly.
Oh God, yeah. All right, guys, listen, we're up at the end of the show here. John, do you have anything else?
No, thank you, Harry. But if you're not a good speller, you won't be on my Wordle team then, I guess.
the boys have been loving Wordle. We got to go in every day, and I'm dead last every day. So.
Oh man, so
me too.
So much for joining us, Harry. Good luck this weekend. Good luck in your personal recovery. Get back before the season's over. We hope to see you out there again. And again, good luck in the rest of the season for the Free Jacks.
Hey, yeah, no, really appreciate you guys having me on today. And it's always a pleasure chatting to you guys. And hey, I can't wait to watch the game. Obviously, I'd love to be out there, but that's how the game goes sometimes. But yeah, as I said, thanks for having me on. And yeah, I hope to catch you guys soon at one game and we can have a catch up over a beer.
You have me a beer. All right.
So, I'll hold you to it.
Yeah. It's on John. All right. All right, guys. Everybody for listening in. And please tune in almost every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. And please be sure to give this us a follow here on Twitter and Instagram at Eagles Overseas and Rugby Morning. Thanks, everybody. Have a great Friday and a great weekend. We will catch up again next week. Cheers.